Well, I don't know what will happen now. We've got some difficult days ahead. But it really doesn't matter with me now. Because I've been to the mountaintop. I don't mind. Like anybody, I would like to live a long life. Longevity has its place. But I'm not concerned about that now. I just want to do God's will. And he's allowed me to go up to the mountain. And I've looked over. And I've seen the promised land. I may not get there with you. But I want you to know tonight that we as a people will get to the promised land.
The wow. I've been to the mountaintop speech, 1968. That was his last speech.
Wow.
Before he was assassinated.
Well, let me tell you, I did, and I don't like letting out the inner workings of how we work here, but, when I've got something going on, Peter said, hey, what do you have going on for an interview? I tell him, he prepares all the little bumpers, all the pieces of music or pieces of, you know, cuts from a movie or cuts from speeches. That was just perfect. That was just perfect, and I thank you very much.
Thank you.
Because we're very excited today to be talking with the Winnipesaukee Playhouse. One of the industries that really got smacked by the coronavirus pandemic was, of course, live theater and putting people into theaters. The movie business, the cinema business is taking a hit, along with restaurants and bars. But really, it's been hit in the live theater. And let me tell you... We need live theater. We need to get out and experience something emotional, something that makes us think, something that brings us release or even escape. But something you could think about is a wonderful bonus in the theater. So joining us here from the Winnipesaukee Playhouse, we've got Neil Pankhurst, who is, of course, the artistic director at the Winnie Playhouse, along with two of the actors that are performing in a current production called The Mountaintop. So Crystal Pope, Theodore Sapp, and Neil, good morning.
Good morning.
Morning.
All right, Neil, let's start with you. This is your second live production that we've been able to put on, only because you have this little teeny weeny little amphitheater there on the grounds of the Winnipesaukee Playhouse.
Well, thanks, Pat. Yes, if I can take two positives away from the coronavirus pandemic. The first is the fact that we managed to build out. We've always had this little amphitheater.
Mm-hmm.
Since we moved here in 2013. But what this has allowed us to do is to extend that, make it nicer, put more seats in. So under normal circumstances, which of course these aren't, if we could fill every seat, which again we can't, we would actually have almost 170 people that we could get into the space now. But with social distancing, we are getting probably about 30 to 50 maximum. And obviously not everybody at the moment feels comfortable coming back to theater, even when it's outdoors and even with everyone wearing masks and even with social distancing. So I take that as a real positive. And the second thing I take away as a positive is the fact that because essentially, our industry was smashed in terms of the Playhouse. Our season was completely thrown up in the air and, fallen apart. It allowed us to relook at what we were doing, particularly as things started to change in the country this summer. And so it allowed us to look at this play, The Mountaintop, by Kotari Hall, and then... I said, I feel this is an important piece and has an important message. And yes, it's about Martin Luther King. It's also a very fascinating play in terms of the fact that it's based on reality. And yet you'll discover if you come see it that halfway through the show, it's a complete fantasy. The author's mother, as it happens, was supposed to go to that meeting that you just played a piece of.
Mm-hmm.
And her mother... so Kotari's grandmother did not allow that to happen. And so in some ways, this is a fantasy play about what a conversation between her mother and Martin Luther King may have been like, or that's how it seems to begin with. It goes in a very different direction about halfway through the show, because it becomes a real fantasy at that point. But it's an interesting look at the very final moments of a very, very, you know, iconically important person in the history of this country.
Wow. Wow. And again, it does speak to a lot of what's going on in the country right now, in a way.
Yes, it does. Yes. You know, certainly since George Floyd and you know, then other people subsequent, sadly, to that, and obviously prior to
all
that.
And then all the protests.
Right.
And, yeah.
Right.
And so, and we're all trying to grasp at gaining some kind of perspective in this. And even though we do veer into fantasy, I'm sure there's still some perspective that we can get to this. Theodore, let's talk to you. What is it like taking on the role of an historic, real figure rather than just a piece of fiction?
First, thanks for having me on. To answer the question, I believe that it is... it's a monumental task, because he's so very well known, and you know, like no matter what age you are, you know, you were actually introduced to this man, like this mammoth of a man, and so he just looms large in everyone's mind.
Mm-hmm.
So, kind of stepping into that, you know, there is a bit of a trepidation that you feel because, like, of course you want to portray this person in the best light, but then you still want to, like, make him human. And put your own spin on it. So it's
correct.
Not like you are trying to be him, but you still want to embody the essence of who he was.
Right, and the principles behind what drove him.
Exactly.
See, that's, and again, as an actor, I know you don't want to be like, okay, please, I don't want anybody standing up going, oh, that's not Martin Luther King
right,
Jr.
Exactly.
Yeah, right. But it's okay because of the way this play goes. Now, Crystal, you kind of get introduced into the world of Martin Luther King Jr., but again, and then it veers a little differently. You can kind of help to bring that fantasy aspect to this tale.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me on as well. I think that's part of what I most enjoy about this play is because there is this fantastical element to it that helps to bring out his humanism in these various playful ways. And so you go through a bunch of different emotions while you get to see, you know, his serious side, his playful side, you know, his raunchy side, all of it kind of comes together and, creates this beautiful picture of a man who you're still learning about to this day. I mean, I'm still learning facts about him every day that I do some research on him. So it's really a great opportunity to see a full picture of a human being.
Well, see, the funny thing is he was about the human race.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? So there is definitely, and even though he was an incredible orator and really helped to kind of congeal the strength behind the movement at the time, he's a human, he's a guy.
Right.
Exactly, yeah.
That's great. I mean, well, that's great, too, as actors, to be able to kind of play with that a little bit, because the human side is just as important as the speeches that we hear at least every February.
Definitely.
Absolutely.
And I think that's one of the reasons that people can actually get into the play and kind of settle themselves into it and like be transported because, you know, like you said, he was human. And so there's that connection right there. So you might not have known him personally, but, you know, like you can identify with certain elements of who he was at the core.
Mm-hmm. But the nice thing is you're not browbeating anybody.
Exactly.
Right.
You know what I mean? You're just telling a story.
Right.
Absolutely.
And through the story and at the end, hopefully, again, people are going to come away with a lot more about maybe our human condition.
Exactly. That's the hope, I would think, that, you know, there's a point of reflection where it's just like, hey, you know, what can I do? How can I be a better person? How can I make a positive impact on the world as we now know it?
Yeah. God, boy, if everybody took that after the show, we might actually live in a better place.
Yeah, that's the goal.
Now, Neil, this was, I know that really kind of the whole thrust of this year was going to be the year of the woman. This was a female playwright?
This was a female playwright. Obviously, there's only two actors in the piece, and one of them is a female, and even though it's sort of centered on Martin Luther King, mm-hmm. I would say that without Kamei's role, that's the character in the piece, without her, it's really her that sort of, you know, is central to it and pivots the piece. Mm-hmm. When it turns into the fantasy, it's because of her character and what, you know, what she brings to the story that suddenly changes the thing. So when I was looking at it, I was going, okay, it's sort of about the iconic man role, but actually she in some ways is more pivotal to the story. So in it being part of the Women in Theatre piece, clearly it was, yes, a female playwright, but also the fact that, you know, this character is central. I'll also say that, interestingly, you know, being from, you may have noticed this, Pat, with every time I speak to you, that I'm not necessarily from around here. So the interesting thing about this piece was the fact that nobody in America originally wanted to produce it.
Really?
It did ultimately get a Broadway performance, but it actually started over in the UK. She took it to the UK, and in 2010, the piece itself actually won the Olivier Award, which is the British equivalent, for those that don't know, of a Tony Award.
Wow.
So it, you know, it has some sort of fairly good standing. But, you know, what's also interesting is the fact it was written, it was written more than 10 years ago, but, it, you know, it won the award 10 years ago. And, you know, I would say, sadly, you know, we are in the same, I feel we were in the same position as we were in 1968. We were also in the same position as we were 10 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
Again, unfortunately, the story is as relevant today and is important today to tell and to be trying to do what Martin Luther King was trying to do, which was to actually bring love. You know, one of the things that he talks about towards the end of the piece is love, and trying to make, as Theodore said, you know, a better, more cohesive and a kinder world. And that's really what he was trying to achieve and what we still are trying to achieve.
Well, you know, for anybody that's listened to any of the speeches at Martin Luther King, you don't feel the anger coming from him.
Mm.
You don't feel it's all about hope. It's about working together. It's about looking at each other all the same. You don't have the anger that, sadly, we have going on in America right now.
True.
Right.
That's very true. And I think that's probably one of the greatest assets that he had. And that's why there were so many people. He speaks about, like, a rainbow of people at one point, and I think that's why everybody could buy into what he was saying, because, you know, they kind of can get behind this universal message.
Right. Right. Exactly. And again, I guess we're never too old. We're never too old to learn.
Yeah.
You know? So let's not give up. So we are running the Mountaintop. Is it just through this weekend?
That is correct. Oh.
Okay, so tell me about showtimes, because again, because we're working out of doors, we have to work with Mother Nature.
We do, and I had decided that we were going to try and keep the season a little simpler, so we decided not to do things at nighttime with lights. It would also, at this time of year, Pat, get a little chilly to do that.
Oh, but you know what? You're going to have a great run this weekend.
Yes,
you're going to have a great
run. The weather's looking really in our favor.
70s,
very lucky.
70s and no rain. I mean,
right.
This could not, you could have not arranged that better.
Right, right. Martin Luther King is looking down on us and giving us some nice weather here.
Thank you.
It starts at 4 o'clock every afternoon tonight, this afternoon, Thursday, Friday, Saturday.
Right.
At 4 o'clock it starts. It runs without an intermission.
Right.
So, again, we can keep social distancing in place. And it runs about an hour and a half. So it's a lovely piece to come to see. And then rather than the normal circumstances of going to dinner and then going to the theater, you can do reverse.
Absolutely.
See the show and then go to dinner.
Absolutely. And I cannot thank you, Theodore and Crystal. I so appreciate you taking time. I know you got a show today, and you came in early, and I thank you so much for that. And Neil, I just look forward, because at some point, we're moving indoors with shows.
We are. In next Wednesday, we have a very talented local couple of actors going to be performing in another show that's actually set. This one's set in Moultonborough.
Whoa!
We're right down the road here, so we hope that people will find that fascinating. And it's about an elderly-ish man. The actor won't like me saying that, but there you go.
it's the character you're playing. Get over it. Yeah.
And a sort of a young local girl who will bring also some local flavor, because she is a local lass. And that you might know well.
Yeah, she might live with me.
She might.
She might live with me. My daughter Tegan.
That's who I was referring to. I'm glad you picked up on that, Pat.
Well, the old guy's not living with me. It's okay. Oh, that's so fun. All right. Well, then you know what? Why don't we talk again next Wednesday?
Let's do that.
All right, that's done. You're in. But the Mountaintop. Tonight through the weekend, Winnipesaukee Playhouse. You can go to winnipesaukeeplayhouse.org, or you can call the box office at 279-0333. Get your tickets. You don't even have to bundle up so much, but you will be warmed inside after you leave this production. Thank you all so much for spending time with us here this morning.
Thanks for having me.
You got it. All right, more of Good Morning New Hampshire coming right up on 107.7 The Pulse.